welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook and I am your host for episode 411. It's actually an incorrect number. Don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that with us this week is someone who has the same first name as me, and the first letter of his second name is also the same as mine. It's the wonderful Adam Carroll.
How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm trying to do the more sort of TV presentery kind of, you know, Adam Carroll.
That's good. Straight in. People who watch probably know us now at this stage, you know. That's it.
You would like to assume that people know us by now. I mean, maybe they don't. Maybe they... Because the thing is, a lot of people ask for timestamps, and I wonder if they just skip the intro every time, and they're like, you're just so bad at intro and podcast.
Yeah, people want a timestamp, right? People don't
is
like...
Is that a thing?
People like timestamps.
In
videos, so...
I do want to shout out... No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to call someone out from our YouTube comments. We're just going to say hello to Christopher Hyde. All right, mate?
Hi, mate. You all right?
Yeah, I was just going to call someone out, and I've decided against it at the last second. You know how it is.
Yeah, I know. Just keep it flowing. Keep it flowing.
Just keep it flowing, which is what usually people say to the man who's had technical issues. His name rhymes with prick, but his name is Mick.
That's the best.
I don't know where that come from, Mick. You and I are great friends. I don't think that way of you at all. So
I can take it. I did have technical issues, but we're here. It took me long enough. But,
yeah. Speaking of what I called you first, right? Because I nearly called you Dick, right? Yeah. Which is. So why did my wife asked me the other day this, and I don't know the answer, and I'm hoping that you three fine gentlemen might be able to help me. The name Richard. Okay, We all know a Rich or a Richie or a Richard. Why does Rich become Dick?
Why does Rich become Dick? What?
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Talking about though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm not making this.
No, I need this explained.
Well, people, if your name is Richard, Dick would be that's a nickname for Richard, like Dick Tracy. Yeah.
And Adam, your face there is exactly that. That's what
doesn't
I was saying.
Make any
why?
Sense.
No, I know it does. Well, so
why is Jack short for John?
It's not.
But when people are called John...
No, they're not. My son's called John. No one's ever called him Jack, ever.
I tell you now, Google it, you'll see. Awesome. Jack is a nickname for people called John.
But Jack isn't any shorter than John.
I'm telling you now, it's an American thing from way back when, Jack and John.
I will take your word for it. Just before we do move on, the only answer I could give my wife, and this is the best I could do, right? So, Ricky... Richard, Ricky, Dicky, Dick, Richie, Dick, Dicky, Dick, Richie, Dick.
Have you been practicing that? That was amazing.
No, not at all. I'm just that good, mate. We should probably talk about some video games because no one will have heard this anyway because I'd have jumped straight to the first timestamp, which is going to say, I haven't got the time itself, but it's going to say Spiritfarer, isn't it?
Ooh.
What a game Spiritfarer is. Yeah. So a review will be on the site shortly.
Did Mick just, when you said Spiritfarer, because you said spirits go, ooh, like a ghost. You did. Okay.
I didn't take it as a ghost. I took it as, I don't know.
Well, they are ghosts, aren't they? No spoilers.
A lovable child. Like a,
are they?
Like
a... I didn't know that.
Well, you... Really?
I've only played 2.5 hours, mate.
Yeah, but it tells you in the opening scene. It's like the first line.
It's also called Spirit Farer.
I just assumed that was the name of the boat, though. The boat seems like, you know, it's a ferry.
No, that's your job. That's your character's job.
Maybe the boat's called that as well.
Maybe. I think the boat's called... Isn't the boat got a name? The boat has a name.
Let's see if the boat is good. I think Chris would like to explain if the boat is good.
I was going to try and explain.
I was wondering how long we could stop him, to be fair.
Feel free to just jump in and interrupt.
No, please.
Again.
Talk to it about Spirit. How much have you played? More than 2.5 hours?
Yeah, so I think about 8 or 9, I think.
Wow, fair play.
8 or 9 hours. So
isn't it massive, Chris? It's supposed to be massive.
I think it's about... like 30 hours.
Yeah, I think it depends.
Yeah,
I think it's meant to be quite a big game. Yeah.
I think from playing how much I've played, you can obviously fast track certain things, and if you know where to go and stuff, it can make it a bit quicker. But if you're just exploring and chilling and pottering, then it can take, it can take a lot longer than that. So, yeah, Spiritfarer for Adam Carroll, who's not played it yet, well, the rest of us have. So this game is, as we've already discussed, you are a Spiritfarer, and it's your job to replace Karen from Ancient Lore, who takes dead souls over the river into the kind of the afterlife, as it were. Okay, so your your first day on the job, and your role is basically to find spirits that you encounter throughout the world, kind of bring them onto your ship, look after them a bit, solve their kind of worries and concerns so that they are kind of morally complete, and then they can go into the afterlife. Okay, that's the kind of, if I was to write a brief
synopsis. It's like Quantum Leap. You have to fix their thing to allow your, but instead of you jumping and leaping to the next one,
yeah,
they can leave to, I don't know, if they're already spirits, I don't know, go vaporize, I don't know.
Yeah. It's so, quite sad, actually.
It's quite, yeah. Oh,
sorry.
When they leave, it's quite, not, you know.
So, I mean, it sounds quite a functional game the way I've described it, but actually, as Mick kind of said, it's actually quite a kind of emotional game, because a lot of the characters that you encounter and the kind of the spirits that you kind of bring onto your ship have all got kind of, some have got emotional ties to you as the main character.
They're all animals as well, by the way. They're all animals. Each one of these people is like their spirit form is an animal. I feel that's important.
Yeah.
Because the snake in a jacket really...
the snake in a jacket that's hiding some flowers. Yeah.
Why not?
So... Some of them know you as a character. Some of them don't, and you build your relationships as you go. But how you help these characters is a lot of the kind of solutions involve acquiring resources to kind of either build something for them or make something happen. So
can we stop there actually for a minute, because I wanted to mention that because I was always going to play this in a similar way to, I think Adam was always going to at some point. But do you know how sometimes there's a game... I'm trying to think of one recently. So Ghost of Tsushima has become a bit like this for me, in that I did really like it, but it's the timeline's fading away now where I get to finish that game. And I think I'm actually at the point where I'm not deleting it, but I'm probably not going to go back. But this was always one that felt like I am going to find time for this. But from what I saw of it, because, yeah, you know, it looks very pretty, and it is beautiful. It is a beautiful game, and the animation is actually really good as well. Yeah. Like the fishing animation, there's like a little blur. It's just really beautiful. And even that, the fishing, the way initially it seems like, oh, this is really simple, I'm going to be bored of this, and then they change it, and it's like, oh, actually, this is a fishing game here. But it did. You talk about the functionality of it. So I played like literally today as we record, nearly 3 hours of this. This is way more of a video game than I thought it was. So I started with mouse and keyboard thinking that what I'm going to be doing is, it's almost like, you know, like these bridge builder games where you've got one screen and you're kind of clicking around and moving stuff around. And very quickly I realized, oh no, this is not that. This is like, you need a controller for this game. This is like got platforming in it. There's like a Guitar Hero style mini game in it. I reckon there's probably more of that as I progress. But I didn't want to say that because I don't want people to be put off like I was, where it's like, no, I'll get to it. But I'm like, because I won't, you know, I'm not missing too much because it's, you know, it's all about the story. There is actually way more game here, not just in terms of length, but in terms of actual. Mechanically speaking, when you boil it down, there's way more game than I was. And like, even like I said, when you get go fishing if you want off the back of the boat while you're traveling. It's like, yeah. Oh, you just hold a button down and then you're like, oh no, someone's upgraded my fishing. Way more video game than I really thought there was in this game.
I think a lot of people have found that, haven't they? I think a lot of people were like you and me. I was the same. I thought
I was always going to play it. Like I say, always going to, but I'm like, oh shit, I really wish I bought this on Switch.
The more you play, there's more to do. So yeah, I've got it on Switch.
There's a lot of variety. Like the more you like, exactly what Mick just said, you unlock and realize and discover a lot more different things to do and ways to do it as well. So that there's so many different like little genres, like you just mentioned. There's loads of platform that really does opening up. The platform opens up.
Bit of Animal Crossing in there.
There's loads of Animal Crossing. Stardew Valley, like you say, a bit of Guitar Hero, loads of those kind of things in there that you just don't think are all going to be in one game. And all over the top of it is some gorgeous music, gorgeous visual aesthetic, and the story and the emotions and the characters is just great. Honestly, it's one of those things that I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did, and you just find yourself losing hours to it and so, keep wanting to go back and do more.
So you're further in.
Yes,
I'm just curious because I'm you know, everyone here is, Adam hasn't played it. We're all being very positive. I don't want to be like, oh, I've got to find a negative, but there is already something that's not. It's a tiny thing. I do think it's a bit of a mistake And I wonder if you can, if you, because you've played more of it, and I could only assume that the mistake that I'm thinking of gets more and more annoying. I wonder if you can think what it would be. What bothers you if you were thinking, what, you know, well, this is a fantastic game. What is there about it that you think that could have been better? I just wonder.
The thing, I think the thing that's, I think frustration is probably a strong emotion, but like,
yeah,
what I found is to progress some of the story, there's certain kind of resources and things you need to do, and it's not signposted how you get them, and you're probably not far enough in to get
No, I have seen that, but that's not the one. Should I just say what it was?
Yeah, yeah, go for it. But
so, I mentioned the animations earlier. If I say that, does that give you a clue? Am I just really an irritable old bastard? Because it's a minor thing, but I do actually think it's one of those things where it would have been solvable. So, like, in this game, there is a day-night cycle as well, and, like, your boat can't navigate at night. Mm-hmm. So you basically, you can carry on if you want, and I guess it will eventually progress time, but you're better off just probably... I mean, maybe when you get further, you need to spend that, use that time more wisely. But for me now, it's just go to bed, and then you get up, you ring the bell, everyone gets up, and you know, you go again. It's a beautiful game. Beautiful, beautiful game. Really well animated, but the animations play out every time. Every time. There's no skipping them. So you are in the middle of something and it's like, oh, your boat stops because you can't travel anymore. And you're like, okay, well, I've got to go to bed. She goes to bed, fine. When you wake, and it's like a big zoom out of your ship and then a fade to black, big zoom in. She gets out of bed and she goes, oh, every single time. And I'm like, I don't need that every time. Show me that 5-6, show me that 10 times. But at an arbitrary point, you as the gamer won't notice if that's not there.
That's like just me and Isabel in Animal Crossing.
You know what? That is that
can
is
just
exactly,
launch Isabel into fucking
no,
space.
You are bang on. And it's the same thing. Like, do you remember with Splatoon where you couldn't skip it all at the start? Yeah. It's that exact thing. And it is such a minor thing. And please do not let it put you off.
Animal Crossing is definitely the worst for that.
Oh, by God, yeah. But it's that on, like, miniature scale.
Yeah.
It's really interesting you say, because I know what you mean. It didn't put me off at all. I'm thinking about it now. Does that wind me up? The reason why it probably doesn't is because I'm probably thinking, right, what am I doing in the next day? Where am I going? Who am I seeing? What am I doing it for? Am I planning in that time in my head? Okay, I know I've got to go there. Right, next I've got to do that.
Right.
Which is probably just the way I think.
I do it with Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima.
So that does it, like, as well when you finish
every
your mission.
Every fucking quest where he has to pat the horse up. I was like, oh, that's cool. Now it's like, you just jab the fucking controller.
But that's what I'm saying, like, stylistically.
It does nothing, you're just trying to fire it around.
Yeah, it's just, come on.
But those first few times, it is like, oh, that's really cool. But then there comes a point, like I say, it can be a completely arbitrary number, but I would say 5 to 10, where they just don't need to do it because... You wouldn't notice it if it was gone, but you do notice because it's still there. And I mean, the mini games with where you get the silk and the, or whatever, you know,
the loom,
and the one with the not the refinery, the mill. I'm like looking ahead at things I'm going to build, and I'm like, they're going to be other mini games, aren't they? And they're all going to be these cool little and they're all so cool. Maybe 20 hours in, you could automate stuff. I don't know. But right now, like, that's the one... And that's how good this game is, by the way, Ad. That's the one thing that I've come away going, if someone had just said, no, look, it is beautifully animated and everyone's going to get it, you don't need to keep showing people that it's beautifully animated. They've seen that animated. Like, you know, it's like... Do you know you can hug the cat? Have you done that?
Yeah.
Like, if you press down and X on an Xbox controller, you can hug the cat. And I've done it a few times. But after that, it's like, if it made you do that, you would be going, I don't need to do this.
I keep accidentally doing it, trying to climb down to the boat.
I have done that too.
I love you. Fuck off, I'm trying to get in the boat.
It is a wonderful game. Like, that first hug.
Yeah.
What's the name of the character? The She's a deer, isn't she?
Oh, she's such a good character, though.
But like, the first when you hug her, you go in for the hug, and she sort of goes, like, surprised. And then she sort of, her eyes change colour, and she just sort of goes... Oh, I'm warm, and it's like, oh man, this game's special.
They write the characters really well in it.
Yeah,
honest.
They do.
So for the little time you spend with them, like, usually a couple of hours each, and but
see,
how
the thing
they write
is,
it is really.
I know because they've shown it. They've shown what the game is about. It's you're carrying people's spirits to their end, sort of thing. So I know that, and so, like, I think that deer's mission that's going to be the one that closes her out is coming up. So I'm not fucking going there, mate.
I'm going to keep fishing for a couple of hours.
I'm going to go and get materials from islands. I'm going to go. And, by the way, is it two player? Because in the menus, it suggests that it's two player.
I haven't tried it, but it does come up in my menu saying, if you want to co-op, then just jump in someone else's game. I'm like, what? How would that work?
I guess they play the cat.
Maybe. I've no idea. We should try it.
I don't think it's online, is it? If it is, that would be amazing. But like, there's definitely... Because when you go to chop wood down, you press the button and the cat goes the other side. And then, again, beautifully animated. It's like the cat is just hanging off the saw because it's not big enough.
Well, potentially, the other player could just play the other... The spirit, couldn't they? Because there's always a spirit. Like, you drop one off, you pick one up. I don't know.
I mean, I'm literally going to look at this up because... I don't know. Like, it does seem to be people suggesting it, but I obviously didn't have any. Yeah, local co-op. There you go. Does Spiritfarer have co-op multiplayer? The answer is, I have to agree to the privacy thing first. The answer is, for God's sake, just answer the question, website, please. Is it a wonder where people have gone to the video? Local co-op on Switch, Xbox One, and PS4, and online via remote play together on Steam. It still hasn't actually said what it does.
It is. Watch the video.
Wow, I am like 8 paragraphs in.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Just still don't know. Oh, hang on. So you one can... Yeah, that's the cat.
Okay.
One plays as Stella and your friend plays as Daffodil, which is the cat, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You can do the same actions, which can be extremely helpful. Ooh. Because that's what I was wondering. I was wondering if, like, someone could be staying on the boat. That would be amazing, by the way. If someone could stay on the boat and keep the cooking going on. It's cooking, by the way, ads. You cook the materials and stuff, and you there's all this stuff.
Yeah.
You got to get it.
I will be buying this tonight.
Game Pass. You don't have to pay for it, mate.
No, I want it on Switch.
Yeah, same. I really wanted it on Switch.
I know I'll want it on Switch.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Anyone have any more to say about Spiritfarer, or Chris, would you like to move on to our new obsession?
Oh yeah, it's me again, isn't it? Yeah,
you, mate.
Get professional. This is a change of pace completely. I don't know if I should introduce this or Mick really, because he's reviewed it properly. But
It's fine.
He can interrupt.
Oh, I can talk about it. Yeah, I'll interrupt you. Yeah.
Okay. So myself and Adam.
We're talking about.
Oh my days! Just go.
Carry on. Sorry. I'll behave.
You go. It's fine.
I'll behave. Risk of Rain 2, Chris. That's the one. I'll say a word. You say a word. Risk of Rain 2.
Can we start then? I'll start then. I'll fucking do it. Can we start by talking about how this is probably one of the best games I've played this year? But it's probably one of the worst names for a game I've heard in about 10.
Yeah. Like, it's shit name. It means nothing.
Me and Chris... Sorry, I'm sorry. Chris and I got to the last boss and failed. Were we live? We were live, weren't we?
Yeah.
We were on twitch.tv/godisageek. And so we've seen the last boss. Still don't have any idea why it's called Risk of Rain, apart from the fact the difficulty settings are based around inclement weather, like drizzle or monsoon and...
And occasionally it rains. Occasionally there is a risk of rain.
Yeah, but you don't notice, do you?
No, I know. No.
Because it's
do
so
anything.
Manic that...
Yeah.
I think it's when you start, it's drizzling, isn't it? In that first world, usually, when you start, I think...
Might be.
I don't know.
So what do we got here? It's a roguelike, is it? Because I've never...
Kind of a roguelike.
Limited. There doesn't seem to be that many versions of each map. There are variants of each map, but I don't think it's fully... It's not procedurally generated, is it?
Well, it says it is, but I think it's more that there's a couple of different versions of the maps.
Yeah.
And you don't know which one you're going to get. So rather than like it giving you different blocks like a normal procedurally generated, it's not like that. It's just like sometimes you might get this map, sometimes you might get that map. Like we had the same when I think a couple of times when we were playing. There's a really awkward map where it hides the fucking teleports. And it's really hard to find it. Yeah. But no, it's not quite procedurally generated, but it is different each time.
Yeah, where the teleporter is.
Your limit.
So, Adam, you're looking for a teleporter in each level.
Yeah.
So you've got to get to that.
Start off with Nout.
Yeah, you get to that and you can call the boss, right? Where that is in each level is feels more random, because me and Adam have played in the same level a few times and the teleporter's been in different places. So that's definitely more procedurally generated. Mm-hmm. But the idea is, yeah, you start off with nothing, and then you, as you kill enemies, you accumulate money, which you can then use to buy kind of upgrades, which are kind of random perks that you can kind of find in crates that will go kind of give you buffs or extra abilities. But all the time, whilst you're playing, a timer is ticking, which gradually over time will increase the difficulty of the level.
You can see it in the top corner. It starts on easy, and the longer you take, that bar is just slowly going up from easy, easy to hard.
The last level, it literally is just saying, ha, 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 ha.
So the enemies keep coming, right? So you could sit there and shoot loads of enemies, get loads of money, and then get loads of
money.
Loads of money, get loads of upgrades, but then difficulty increases if you do that. So it's a toss-up between do you just rush the levels to get to the bosses quicker? Yeah, it's going to be easier, but you're not going to have any upgrades, or you know. So it's kind of a bit of a
That's cool.
So it's a nice idea.
I like the way that as you unlock, like, you've got like different power-ups. So you've got like purple ones that I think are utility, then there's green ones that give you health or armor, and then there's red ones that give you a certain damage. And whatever you pick up sort of sticks to your character. So like when you pick up, like, it's a guitar. I can't remember what the guitar does, but when you pick up the ukulele,
it's the one that makes your attack sort of spark a lightning bolt off to another enemy.
Yeah. And then your character will carry then the ukulele on their back if you get like... There's a soldier's syringe that gives you like a buff to damage, and then they'll stick them in their legs and things. And like,
think that's a really weird decision. It's cool, but you think about the effort it goes. All those items, right? Mm. That they could just make you, they debuff you, or what they do, whatever they do to you. But they've animated them all to be on your body, where they could have just not done it, and you'd never have noticed any difference.
Yeah. And you actually are covered that. by the end of a run. You're just
like you say, you've got needles in your light and stuff. Yeah. It's like the thing is, how do you describe the visuals? Like, kind of cell shaded?
Well, I said that in the review. I kind of just, the best I could think of was it's kind of like somewhere between pixel art and watercolor. But yeah. It's got like a dreamy milky watercolor kind of look to it. But then it's also quite, and I've seen there's a trailer. Yeah. I think there's a trailer where it's like a proper CGI trailer with all the characters.
Yes, there is. There's comments under it going like, the game doesn't look like this, by the way.
Yeah, because that looks really cool. But the game has it looks like they might have intended that to be what they were going to do at one point, and then budgetary reasons or whatever.
Risk of Rain looks like this, but sort of more brown and 2D. So, man, like, I will also say, screenshots do not do this game justice.
No, I didn't
at all. That's what put me off.
Do you know what I really thought it was? Because I seen the title Risk of Rain, and I saw the art, and it looked like a little robot, because it's the commando, isn't it, with the bubble helmet?
Yeah.
And I thought it's going to be some shit, the little fucking indie game about, I don't know, it's going to be a robot, and he's going to have a little companion to get through some area, and if it rains, he's going to rust. I thought that was my natural... It's going to be some shit I don't want to play. And I just ignored it. I think it's been out for a while, hasn't it?
Like, it's been out for quite a while.
And I just have never even bothered with it. And it's absolutely my sort of game.
Yeah, I think it's everyone's sort of game. I think some people will play it for longer than others. Let's put it that way. But I do think it is... It's one of those games... It's almost a game that... Kind of one of the ones that you would have got you into gaming when you were a kid in the first place.
Yeah. Mm. Like, it's not all frustrating.
Shooty and, you know,
it's not frustrating for a roguelike, for what it is. No. Like, you do begin and then you go through all these levels and eventually you will die. And when you die, if you're on your own, it's over. Mm-hmm. If you're playing with someone else, if they can make it through the teleporter and kill the boss, then you'll revive, which is really hard on your own anyway. Yeah. But you don't feel frustrated by it. It's not a roguelike, like, I don't know, Dead Cells or something like that, where you get so far and you die and it's like, fucking, I'm not playing this for a couple of
years. I don't know. We were a little bit annoyed.
Yeah.
I think you guys got right to the last boss, though.
Well, we were on, I think, the third of four or five phases of the last boss.
That must have been a couple of hours of work as well, because...
No, we did it. What we decided was the quickest way to do this is to do it the quickest way.
Just blitz this
and hope we do manage to pick up a couple of chests.
I did actually see you get that achievement for doing the teleporter in under 5 minutes unlock.
By the way, well worth it. That's the other thing, by the way, as they've all the characters have got loadouts, and there's like a new, if you do certain achievements, you unlock more characters, in-game stuff. It's kind of how achievements used to be. Do you remember, like, when Dead Rising came along and it was like really unique ideas about how to do achievements? And it's kind of that. It makes you actually think of, you know, attempt challenges in this game. The thing is, I've sort of moved on from that character, the commando, but that skill made me go back a bit because it's a slide. So you slide, you can still, you know, you can roll on either all four directions with the commando, with the shift key or whatever it is on the controller. With it, this, that skill, you slide and can continue firing. So you basically knee slide in whichever direction you aim while attacking, but you're still kind of, you've not got the eye for it. I don't know if you are actually invincible when you roll, but I think you do it so quick, no one hits you. It's just, it's so, and like, there's so much to that game. Like, I forget, because I played with you, Mick, and I played with you, Chris. Who was it that we found the shop? It was you, Mick,
that,
wasn't it?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah,
there's like
a
weird shop that you can get to if you spend your lunar coins, but it never tells you what lunar coins are. We just worked it out, and I think, it's a superb game, isn't it? It's just not one I think I could play for hours on end.
No, I think you have enough of it, don't you?
Yes,
like I always do.
Because it's quite fucking intense.
That's kind of how I feel about a lot of those kind of games, if I'm honest.
But the music does this thing, brother, where it starts off very, listen, lads, we're just going to be all right.
Easy in.
And then by the time you get to like the fourth or fifth stage, it is proper like, shredding in the background. Like, yeah. It's like you sort of, there's a moment of quiet where just for a second you're not being shot and you're like, it's just fucking someone like shredded in the background, like proper like 80s style, almost synth shredding. You know, like, you expect almost Matt Berry to come and go, this is a video game. Do you know what I mean? And he doesn't, but no, man, it's good. It's a very good game.
Cool.
It's a very good game. Chris, talk about another very good game.
Oh, it's three in a row. So, yeah.
All the games.
So, I have a shocking confession. Up until this last week, I hadn't played Fall Guys.
I still haven't and never will.
Sorry, could you use its full title, please?
What?
Oh, game, no. Fall of the Year game of... fuck it, I messed up my own joke. Really angry about that. Fall Guys Ultimate Knockdown. Knockout?
Knockout.
Game of the Year edition.
Oh, okay.
Please.
Any other... what interruption?
I'm going to mute myself so you can speak without me getting...
Well, you might need to join in on some of this because obviously I was played this with Fine. Adam last week, and I'll be really clear. Adam doesn't like Fall Guys a lot at all. He'll be the first one to admit it, which was a great, cheerleading for someone who'd never played it before. So we went online, played a few rounds. Adam was a bit rubbish. I was a bit good.
that's fair. I don't deny that.
And I have to say, there's a thing, right? Okay, let's be really clear. People know what Fall Guys is, right?
But I would expect so, man.
Yeah,
I would expect
by
so.
Now. Don't have to agree.
Like, have you seen the stats on it? By the way, genuinely, I'm not going to take the piss. It's the best-selling game in the history of PlayStation 4.
Yeah, best-selling, and it's like 7 million.
Best-selling or
most?
Because
it's the most downloaded.
It's the most downloaded PS Plus game.
Because if you're buying it. Well, by the time this goes up, it will be out of PlayStation Plus. But if you're buying it when it's in PlayStation Plus... Like,
yeah, so it's the most downloaded PS Plus game.
Yeah.
In history.
Yeah. In history ever. So...
Amazing what a bit of review bombing can do, isn't it?
So, anyone else? No? Okay, right. So, I've lost my train of thought now. You're absolutely...
It's the best game of the year, you were going to say, right?
No, it's not.
You were better at it than Adam.
I was better than Adam. I like it more than Adam, but I get why he doesn't like it as much. I think this is a great game to have with friends. If there's four of you playing all at once, all on mic, great time for a couple of hours, right? I get that, and I'd have a great time.
Why? Why is it good with friends? Explain why it's good with friends.
Because of the bants.
What bants?
What do you mean, what bants? We were
what
having
bants are you having with this? Do you know what this is good for? It's good for YouTubers. Who can fucking scream
and come in their pants while
they're playing the best game of the year.
No, I don't disagree with that, but you're also... I think you're lying if you didn't have any fun while we were playing at all or enjoying
any
of the conversations.
I'm just that good of an actor, mate. No, I enjoyed the conversation with you.
I have fun picking dead skin off my feet, though. I don't think fun's the bar. Do you know what I mean? I'm not the only bar. I just think.
When did we become miserable?
Oh, fun. There you go. Right. There's your box quote. Fun. It's overrated.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a game.
I think what I want to know from Chris here is, I agree with you. I think like if I was to play with four or three other people and have Okay, you are going to laugh at it. It's going to be pretty funny, especially if it's your first time playing it and seeing each mini game unfold and whatever, right? I think, Chris, like, what do you like? Do you see the longevity in it for yourself? Like, are you going to go every day? Round of Fall Guys here now. Going to get my crown.
I'm certainly not going to get the crown, but
yeah,
no, you nearly not. Did.
Neil got us.
Did he?
He got us. He put up good a Twitter lad. And I was like, God damn it.
I actually worry that Chris off screen is sending an email to some of his hitmen saying some of his.
Let's just fucking get this. Let's just lay this down, right? This game pisses me off. The same people the same people going, oh, it's so great, it's so amazing, are the exact same people who moan about Mario Party.
Oh, hypocrites. Man, that last Mario Party was absolute poopy poos.
No, I don't mean the last Mario Party, I mean Mario Party generally. Oh, it's just a load of fucking mini games.
I think you're misjudging me for someone who thinks this game is the best game. I don't.
You do, mate. You must have. Everyone does.
You pigeonhole me. I just think it has.
You're either with me or against me, mate. These are the rules of the world. I don't make them
okay,
up.
Okay, if they're the two choices, I'm against you wholeheartedly.
See,
but
there you go. Judas. Always said it.
I don't think you can win this argument, Chris. It's not really an argument.
Let me just add to this.
Right, I'll calm down. I'll come back into real person character. Right, this game, as if I didn't have enough of a problem with it, genuinely. So I bought this. I actually paid money for this on Steam. Okay, I played it on PlayStation, but I own it on Steam. I have 0 hours played of it. Okay, but my son wanted it, and I family share with him because it's a good way for me to be able to control what he's playing. I know what he's playing. He hasn't got a bank account. If he buys a game, I know about it. And if it's from my account, I know about it. They disabled family sharing on this game after a week because people who are cheating at this game... And by the way, if you're cheating at Fall Guys, you need to have a fucking word with yourself. You sad... Find my happy place. People were cheating at Fall Guys and they were banning them. Good. Good work. Well done. Good lads. That's exactly what you should be.
I have a question that we'll go back to.
Okay, so, and I know what your question is going to be, and the answer is, somehow. people are cheating, right? So they ban them. So then what they do is they create another Steam account, and they family shared the game so they could carry on playing it without buying it twice on Steam, and then they ban them, and they create another Steam account and family shared them. And I'm sure it's a more difficult fix than I imagine, but I legitimately use that as a parental control so I know what my kids are playing. And they can't play it now. And this is the fucked up thing. They like it. Well, my youngest likes it. He really likes this game.
So he's against you as well?
Yeah, well, they all are, mate. So it's like being a
man.
Anyway, yeah, like, as if it, and I saw that. And I was sat up there for 40-odd minutes going, but I don't understand it. All the other games on my account, I'm downloading them, and they work on their PC, and it's fine. It's all fine. And I'm like, this just... I know some games can not allow family sharing, but generally speaking, it's very few these days. I said, just turn around to him. I'm sorry, mate. I don't know. I genuinely don't know, which is a real failing because I am the tech guy and I'd let him down. So I was just looking on Twitter and I Googled it and it found a tweet from their account. And it's like, yeah, we've disabled this because people are cheating. So, sure.
So, and what is it that really annoys you within the game itself, Ed?
Okay, like, no, that's a fair question.
Yeah, like, what do you see that the game doesn't... It's just not there. Like,
it's exactly that. I don't think...
You think the mini games themselves are just, like, pretty poor?
So let's talk about Slime Climb. Has everyone experienced Slime Climb?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So Slime Climb is a course where you are basically continuously going upward. It's like a Mario level, almost a slime... Well, no, it's not. The slime is constantly climbing as you go up, right? This is a level about you get the front of the queue, you got to stay at the front of the queue, get ahead. No, it's not. It's not. There's no skill involved because you can use your skill and you can get to the front of the queue, but then because there are obstacles going in and out slowly, you've got to stop and you've got to wait. And then all these stupid fucking jelly beans bunch up and knock you all over the shop because it's a physics-y sort of thing, like,
gang beasts.
Fall flat in a way, or gang beasts. And there's no skill in that, and it annoys me because...
Slime Climb, I agree with you. I did get annoyed with that, and I thought there's a bit of a bad design choice on some of the parts of that. I agree completely with that. But other the other mini games are absolutely fine and do reward skill. Okay, I was a boss at that role.
I'm glad you said that, Chris. Let's talk about grabbing tails off people, shall we?
If you want, I was going to talk about the one I was really good at, but let's
talk about the one that really works well. The one where you have to grab tails off people.
Mm. Yeah, I wanted that as well. Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
And what? Not you know, it is on video what you had to say about that. So it's up to you if you want to. You know,
well, it was the one, the toxic one, what didn't feel like it was working. The grabbing tails one felt like it was.
It didn't work, you say?
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. It's a good game. Doesn't work. It's good.
I mean, like I say, you're literally taking what I'm saying. It's like it can either be the best game ever or dog
That's
shit.
That's the rules.
Somewhere
mate.
In the
I'm
middle.
Sorry.
But you know,
speak to people who run the games industry. Then it's the rules.
Despite all of this negativity, I still had fun playing it with you. So I must be some sort of hero.
And I must be some kind of masochist. Now I am playing it up for the podcast, obviously. I don't think it's a shit game. I don't think it's as good as people... I tell you what, I will say, fair play to them, because it's the best marketing I've seen in a very long time. The Oliver, I forget his name, used to work at Bossa, I think. It's what a job that guy's done with the social media. Community managers are a job that doesn't get anywhere near enough credit anyway, but what a phenomenal job they've done there. Like I'm playing up for laughs a lot, but I will say congratulations and fair play, and we'll leave it at that. And talk about Mafia Definitive Edition. Now let's come back to me and let's let Mick talk about Wasteland 3.
Oh, Wasteland 3. I wasn't expecting to talk about that because I haven't looked at the document for this at all, so I'm completely unprepared.
But I'm pretty sure
usual.
You put it on the document.
Did I?
Well, I didn't.
I don't know. I do a lot of stuff. I don't remember.
I might have done that. Sorry.
Okay.
I thought the people would want to know.
Wasteland 3 is it's fucking brilliant. I'm done.
Fair enough.
That's objectively, right. it's better than Fall Guys. Well, it probably isn't, actually. I'll never play Fall Guys. It's not my sort of thing. Wasteland 3 definitely is, so I'm a little bit biased there. But it's really good. Did any of you have played Wasteland before?
I feel like I have at some point.
It's not your type.
No, I can understand that. Yeah, it's quite a niche thing anyway.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though. Wasteland 2 was a lot more niche than Wasteland 3. Wasteland 2... I think actually Wasteland 2 was pretty unique in terms of its mechanics, like the way it worked, the combat and all that sort of stuff. Whereas Wasteland 3 has gone a little bit more, they're catering a little bit more for probably the mass market with Wasteland 3, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I didn't find it a bad thing. I really enjoyed it. But like the combat now is basically, it's basically an XCOM, a Gears Tactics type thing. So, the way they combine the two genres, so the RPG in is very much it's still very much like Baldur's Gate or the original Fallout, if anybody remembers what the original Fallout was, which was like a top down party based thing. It's like that. They've retained that side of things, but when you go into a combat phase, it becomes an XCOM game. Basically, it becomes a turn-based tactical. There's half cover and things like that, and chance to hit mechanics. Where's that going to get in a C? But it's good. I moan about it, but it is good. It's very well done, and it's fucking funny. I had to go back and find an old save just to get there's a little bit in it where there's this guy called McTavish that you meet in a garage, and he's got a really, really strong Scottish accent to the point where when he speaks, one of your character's lines is, what the fuck even is that accent? And he says, okay, I'm Scottish. And then when you do what you've got to do with him and you go back to the room afterwards and you start going through his stuff, you find a tape recorder. And when you play it, he's got like a really broad, like Bronxy accent, and he's learning Scottish from like... and he's learning words like boar bag and it's just fucking hilarious. And I had to go back and find an old save, which luckily it auto-saved before I went into that part. And it's one of those games that's got like five or six, because it encourages you to save scum.
Yeah.
So it's one of those games that's got like, I think it's got five auto-save slots and then my save. So I found it and I had it because I wanted to put it somewhere in the review. I had to bleep a word out actually for the review, but I did get it in there. But it's genuinely funny. But it's kind of like it's still so much like Fallout. Like it's not by I know Bethesda now have got Fallout and there was all that legal stuff between them and was it Interplay?
In Exile.
In Exile, yeah, that's another. So they're the guys that have done Wasteland 3 and Wasteland.
Yes,
because I think there's a lot of guys at Wasteland in
Brian
Exile
Fargo,
that were
isn't it?
Into play. Yeah,
it's
Brian Fargo.
So because
yeah.
I remember, I'm sure he tweeted recently that he's saying, "Oh, I'm really enjoying Wasteland 3. It's a bit like Fallout, isn't it?" And he's there like, lads, you know, you probably don't want to be the guy to say it, but it's like, yeah, that was me also. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I felt, you know, it's good that he can laugh about it though. Like, yeah, you know, exactly. it's a bit similar to those Fallout games. It's like, yeah, well, I fucking whatever.
But
you
know, I mean,
it's a bit like someone had a go at someone had a go at Doom recently and said like, oh, imagine, would you really ever want your career to be just known because you made Doom? And he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Doom.
Yeah. You'll only be known for Doom and Wolfenstein,
yeah.
They said.
That was
they?
It. That was the one. It's like yeah. Like, you mean the game that all first person shooters and that, like, you know. Yeah. Yeah. It's similar with the Fallout sort of, yeah. Well, the Brian Fargo games, I suppose. Yeah. You know, like,
I think, but they have retained an awful lot of what made Fallout, of what still makes Fallout, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, Fallout 76, you can say what you like, it's still got the same atmosphere, still got basically the same writing somewhere in there. But what, I mean, if you remember how good Fallout 3 was when it came out, which was still very much like the old Fallout games, it still retained that same atmosphere, those themes. It does suddenly and quite jarringly go to really dark places. And I think Fallout
Narratively?
Wasteland 3 does it. Fallout does it a lot. Like Fallout, you know, you can be quite happily doing something and then you'll find a diary that's about, I don't know, some family being cannibalized or something and go, oh, you know, but Wasteland 3 does the same thing, but it's really quite jarring because one minute you'll be, I don't know, you like the McTavish thing. Like, you know, I played that probably 5 or 10 minutes before I went off to do another quest. And that quest was about some poor girl's entire family being killed and murdered and burned and, in a big pit, and I thought, well, that was a sudden tonal shift, because like straight after that, I came back to the town, went in like the little nightclub thing in the town, and there's a prostitute that's a big mutated goat called the Joker that everyone. It's like, and I was just like, well, fuck me, this is a bit of a roller coaster. This game. So it's, I think, but because you've got so much freedom to sort of do whatever you want in whatever order you want, that sort of thing is kind of a little bit beyond their control. Like they can't help if. You know, I guess if you played things in a certain order, there would be more order to it. But because you have the freedom to just be like, I don't fancy doing that quest, now I'm going to go and do this quest. And then that quest might be a completely different, have completely different themes or completely different sort of tone. But it all works really well. And it does laugh at itself, and they are quite good at it. And they have tried to do a few little things like where they've innovated. Like I said, I say innovate. It's not innovation, is it, to just turn the combat into XCOM style combat, but
it's funny you mentioned that because I have a question for you about that.
But it does integrate really well into like no one's done that. No one's taken like that massive world, which is a really intricate world, and there's loads of stuff going on. There's secrets everywhere and side quests everywhere, and it's a huge 60-70 hour RPG if you want it to be. But then the combat.
You've just answered my question. Never mind.
The combat is very much its own thing. Like when you go into a combat phase, it doesn't even feel like you've just been jarred out of what you were doing. It just feels natural and it works really well. And then as soon as the combat's over, you just all stand up and you go and loot all the bodies. So as whereas when you're playing it, when you would play an XCOM or even like a Gears Tactics, once the combat's over, it's over and you just go on to the next mission. Whereas this carries on.
The question was basically going to be, do I go back to Gears Tactics and get that done, or do I start this? And like you, by 70 hours, no. Too long.
Yeah, this is a big ass game. I mean, it's Wasteland. Wasteland 2 is a big ass game. This is what they're made for. Because I mean, I've been playing Pathfinder Kingmaker as well. That's another one. It's just those games are, you're going to spend hundreds of hours on it, and they know, and that's why they pack it with so much stuff. And plus, you'll play it once. And then you want to go and play it all again because there's so many choices. Like straight off the bat, you meet a character who's basically like this is straight out of the first mission. You've not had a chance to really gain any skills or abilities or anything like that. You've literally made your character's gone into the world, and you meet a character who's basically on her knees because there's a guy with a gun to her head and he's going to kill her. And you get some dialogue options, and if you don't do it right, he kills her, and that's it. But she's like a named character, and she's spit. And I thought to myself, do I go back and replay that now with a different skill and see if she'll join me or she'll unlock something? And I didn't, because I was reviewing it. I thought, no, I just got to plow on. So I carried on. But then that happens two or three times. You come across these situations where a specific skill would allow you to do something, but if you haven't got that skill, it just kicks off and like
that. See, that's very Fallout as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's, you haven't got enough points in intelligence or whatever, you know, you can't do all of it, you know.
It's very much, and I love stuff like that, but then I think, see, years and years ago, I would happily play this for 100 hours, then go back and probably do it a second time in maybe 50, but make those different choices. I don't have time to do that anymore, which is a shame.
Yeah.
But, it's really good, though. And if you do like that sort of thing, if you have got that sort of time and that's your sort of genre, it's really, really good.
It's in Game Pass, I think.
It is in Game Pass, yeah.
PC and Xbox, but it is also on PS4 because they own Microsoft own InXile. It's another one of those games where they didn't own them at the time it was announced, and like for example the game codes for us kept nothing to do with Microsoft. No, it wasn't anything to do with Microsoft. No. Adam, have you anything you want to talk about this week, games wise?
Not particularly. I've just been in a major gaming funk since finishing.
Spiritfarers.
Yeah, that's going to be my next one, Spiritfarer. I'm going through like Red Dead 2 again and Batman Arkham Knight since the new Batman trailer dropped and stuff. Just replaying stuff because it's like, you know, I finished.
Quick
goals.
Thoughts on those? Just because I know you're big.
Yeah, Red Dead is.
I mean the Batman trailers.
Oh, the Batman trailer. Oh, I'm super in. Super, super.
I am actually. I really am into the Batman.
I mean the game. Sorry, the two games.
Oh,
trailers.
The games. Oh. Gotham Knights
and Suicide Squad. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? Gotham Knights, I'm more interested in than Suicide Squad, which is something I didn't really think was going to be the case. Do you know? I was there, right, and I watched Suicide Squad trailer. No, yet we still have yet to see gameplay of it, but I'm not really into Suicide Squad all that much either.
Okay, not many people are they?
Not particularly, not that I know of, anyway.
Isn't it like a Borderlands-y shooter? They said that.
Well, they haven't said what it is really at all. That's the thing.
They called it a shooter, though, haven't they? The official description of the game, I'm sure it calls it a shooter.
But it can't. I suppose it could be, but
not to like dampen the excitement for anyone else who's up for this. But there was a part of me that when it got revealed that like Rocksteady's next game is Suicide Squad, I was definitely like, I was like, okay, that's a bit. But anyway, hold up.
Yep.
And then I see the trailer. And like in the trailer, obviously, like, you know, it comes up and it's like, from the creators of the Arkham series. And it goes, Rocksteady. And for me, I was sitting there kind of going, why do I feel like kind of underwhelmed right now? When there's years there, I was like, Rocksteady, they got to come out this year with it. Like, do you know, there was something that.
But they are, this game is 2022.
It is.
They are actually also advertising for many key hires, many roles.
There's 20-something jobs.
I'm genuinely wondering if there's no gameplay because they've none to show you.
Yeah.
Probably isn't.
Do you know when there was like rumors going around as well that like, their next game apparently is Superman. Do you know
they wanted to save Superman?
I personally would have wanted just that over Suicide Squad. I would have taken a Superman game, you know. I definitely would have taken another Batman game, even though people would say, no, we've got three of them now. I would have still taken one because I think...
You've done what they did where they went the Arkham trilogy. And I always imagine Warner Montreal, they're just going,
but,
lads.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but like Rocksteady...
I get what you mean.
Yeah. The thing, like... And if people say, oh, no, they've done everything that they need to do in a Batman game, it's kind of like, well, if you play Arkham Knight again, which is still, I think, is still a 10 out of 10 game. I absolutely love it.
Fucking love that game.
Playing it now again, I'm kind of going, they could definitely do a new one. And they could definitely improve certain things again, you know. Like, there was a lot of people who didn't like the platforming aspects of the Batmobile in Knight and stuff, you know. And it's kind of like, okay, like... Fair enough, but I would love another game with the Batmobile. Do you know, things like that. Suicide Squad, look, we'll see how it goes. Gotham Knights.
We'll have to, because we've nothing.
Yeah, we've nothing.
Gotham Knights, is, we should say, is a brand new series, they've said now.
I felt initially a bit funny about that one.
It's Assassin's Creed Batman. It is. Like, there are now level numbers above enemies' heads. There's leveling up. There's going to be probably some sort of skill tree. This is an open world. Because where the Arkham games were open world in inverted commas, weren't they? They were like kind of the games I like games like that, where they're open world, but the world is
it's compact.
It doesn't take an hour of in-game time to go from one corner to the other.
Yeah.
This looks to me very much is Assassin's Creed. It's an open world. It's a Ghost of Tsushima. It's a that kind of open world.
I'm up for that more so. And
I'm not against
that.
How
co-op is it? Do you guys know? Because I'm obviously the trailer was all showed
co-op. It's two player co-op. Yeah.
Yeah, but is it? I'm guessing there's a single player campaign.
I believe it's the same. It's like.
Is it dropping out? Is it
yeah,
like
I believe a... so. I believe so. Like it is co-op or it isn't. Whereas yeah. Suicide Squad is four player, and if you don't have friends to play with, it's bots.
Yeah,
so that sounds like a Left 4 Dead-y shooter.
I stand by this. I said it in our Patreon Discord, and I stand by this. I think Suicide Squad is going to be a very similar service game to Avengers, the Square Enix game.
Maybe.
But I really do think the reason they're hiring a load of people and the reason it's out in 2022 is they've seen the reaction to Avengers from the moment it was announced and gone, we can't make those same mistakes. We're Rocksteady. We're Warner Brothers.
I really
do think it's a service game. I mean, it's four player online only or with bots. You can't not have three other AI. You can't do it alone. It's a service game.
I think also as well, it's not, look, I don't know the first thing about creating a game, but like, it just feels like Rocksteady took too long. I think the train kind of just...
Well, where have they been? Similar to like, someone said this in Discord, Retro Studios, before they got involved with Metroid 4, what are these, you can't tell me that Rocksteady have just not been doing anything for 4 years?
You've said that about Sucker Punch. What did Sucker Punch do between... Infamous.
Well, they had Second Son.
That was like a launch title. Wasn't
I mean, games do take a lot longer to develop nowadays.
Mm. What was Rocksteady's game on PS2? Where you were like a
PS2?
You were like, it was like a riot. You were kind of like it was like a first person police kind of thing.
State of Emergency, games. Was it?
No. That was Rockstar.
No, that was Rockstar. I thought they were a new studio. Urban Chaos.
Urban Chaos.
Urban
Chaos.
2006.
That game was pretty good, if I remember correctly. And
they did do Arkham VR Sorry.
It did.
But that was 2016, by the way.
Huh?
That was 2016, was Arkham it? VR. So 4 years. And then I guess it got ported to PC later, but I don't know if they did the port of that.
Well, they should remaster or Urban Chaos. That's what I'm trying to say. so I could be happy with that.
But other than that, though,
like the gaming funk is there because of finishing Ghost, got the platinum in that. That was enjoyable. And then it's kind of like, I'm just waiting for Tony Hawk. And that's kind of like what's happening.
Oh, so am I. Yeah.
Man, I've been thinking about that game solid for a week.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, oh, what do I want to play? For the next 2 weeks, no, Spiritfarer, I'm absolutely just going to pull the trigger there when I come off.
Very different game.
Yeah, when
man.
I come off this pod, I'm going to just purchase that, and I'm going to love every minute of it. I'm sure I will. But you know, I have titles there that I'm kind of going, do I, won't I? Is it?
Go on, what are they? What are they? Give us two or three of them, and we'll all.
Okay, so Creed Odyssey is one. All right.
Not now.
But the thing is, if I'm going in on this, I'm going in on the platinum.
Like, yeah, that's,
yeah, not now. Not now, man. Not
I
now.
Tell you what,
not after Tsushima.
I tell you what, if after playing Ghost of Tsushima, if you had to go and then platinum now Odyssey, you're going to be banging your head off a wall halfway through.
Yeah,
it's too soon.
It's too Ubisoft, man.
Another one that I've never played, quite old, is the Amnesia Collection. They are just those horror first person games, and I'm just kind of like. Don't know if I'm actually mentally ready for, because I like as much as I've said it many times, as much as I love horror, I'm very bad when it comes to a horror game. I think it's the scariest way for me. Like I can watch so many horror films, not really get scared at all.
So that, at the moment, I would say that's the one to go for so far.
Well, it's because Halloween's coming up as well, isn't it? Like some kind of like, I'll be going through all this kind of carnage of watching all these horror movies anyway, so kind of like, I'll play a game. But other than that, I think it is Spiritfarer, and like with leading into Tony Hawk, I ended up, and just said it before this we were recording, but I started Ollie Ollie 2, again, Welcome to Ollywood. Mm-hmm. I think that's the full title. And that game is from a developer called Roll 7.
Yep.
Is that them? Yeah.
That's right.
Roll 7 is the name. And that game got released maybe 4 years now, could be three, maybe. And I think it was put on PS Plus as well.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and for anyone, I think, right, like, I had this discussion, because obviously, like, with Tony Hawk coming out, people are kind of really excited, they got the nostalgia feels, they've got this
I've got a point to make about that, I mean, actually.
They've got this game coming out that, like, people are, like, impressed by from the demo, and yada, yada, yada. And it opens up the whole conversation of these types of games that we've all gone through. Yeah. You got, and then you go out to Skate and stuff, and a lot of people will say, oh, I didn't get on with Skate because, like, it was just that bit too... full on in terms of its controls, but a lot of people respect what they were doing. I love Skate, love Tony Hawk. Ollie Ollie is one of those ones then that I was like, holy shit, Ollie Ollie, we forgot about this. Like, I think a lot of people have forgotten about Ollie Ollie, and
I think
this
right.
game is unbelievable. Like, it is, it does another whole, it's a skate game, obviously, but it just does the whole thing different, but super well. Yep. It lays out tons of challenges. It's very quick. It's responsive. You can just start the level over and over within just pressing triangle. You're in again. If you've never played, if anyone here has never played, like, Ollie Ollie, like, get those games, because
again,
they deserve...
Vita. I've had them on the Vita. Played
yeah. them
a lot.
Yeah. That's my first time I've played it. No, I got on the PS4, and it was big.
They're on Switch, aren't they?
Don't know that.
Are they?
I'm sure they
are. Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting them again on the Switch.
But, like, both of them are worth it.
Just check, they are on the Switch, both of them.
I bet they're cheap too, aren't they?
Jesus, I might have to get them again as well.
I think it was a package or something. Yeah.
Oh, savage. I think, like, this game still is just, presentation is absolutely flawless. I think the music is so perfect for it. It's very stylistic. It's just, it runs like butter, and it is challenging and fast. And I think, like, you know, when you're in these kind of like gaming funks, as I keep saying, like, you just never know what you're trying to play or what you want to start, and you start up on a million things and you go, oh, this is big, this is just, like, going to take ages, or let's start this again, I mean, you need to play this again. You need this kind of game. This is the kind of game I'm looking for. That's why with Tony Hawk coming around, it's kind of like, oh, it's exactly what I want. I just want to, like, battle against buddies now for the high scores and stuff like
Can we talk about the fact that come the end of the year, Activision could very well have had two of the best games this year? Crash 4.
Oh, yeah, which, Jesus Christ. Crash 4 looks good, doesn't it?
And, like, man, do you see that on the Gamescom opening night?
Yeah, let's have a moment on that there for a second, right? Because I'm excited for Crash 4. Oh. Am I a big Crash fan? I wouldn't say I'm diehard, but I definitely do enjoy it. But, like, Crash 4 is blowing me away solely because this game is not even out yet. Yet on that... what was the name of the thing?
Opening night.
Yes, on the opening night. Their talk about it was if the game was already out, because they're like, and we got this coming, and this content is coming.
They keep revealing new modes, and they all look so bloody cool.
And they keep saying things like, these levels are hard. And I'm like, that's kind of amazing that you're saying this, because, like, this game is obviously, like, appealing to a lot of kids as well, I guess, you know, in some ways. But the fact they're laying out such a challenge is wicked. Like, I think this game is going to be something that a lot of people are going to enjoy.
Quite honestly, man, Activision, Tony Hawk's back to its roots and works well. Like, I'm sorry, that demo, they can't have cocked it up. I'm calling it now, that game's going to be very good. Crash 4, I'm calling it now, I'm going to be good. Black Ops, going back to its roots, is a sequel to the first Black Ops, in theory.
That's another interesting one as trailer, well, multiple endings.
Yeah, but also, I'll be honest with you, man, that trailer they showed, I know it was a cutscene.
It was good.
I thought it was a damn good cutscene.
Yeah.
And COD, it plays well. It does play well. All they need to do, man, is to just get Guitar Hero back again. And it's You're my boys, Activision. You're my boys.
Yeah. Mick, I want to go back there for a second, just rewind. You said you had a point to make, remember.
Yeah, so Tony thought, it's an interesting one for me, right, because when I was a wee bairn, I used to play Tony Hawk's a lot. Like, I played up to Pro Skater 3, which I think is pretty much where everyone sort of really played Tony Hawk's games to.
Yeah.
I think 4 was when it started to sort of decline a little bit. And I used to play games like that, and nothing but. And I remember I rinsed Pro Skater 3. Like I played it over and over again. Now the remake of 1 and 2 are coming out. And I wonder now, like, that's the sort of game that I wouldn't review. Like, I won't review that game for the site. I'm pretty certain.
Okay,
that
it's just not... fine.
It's not the sort of thing for me, because it's not what I know anymore, right? Games like that. And I think with that game coming, I would, though, probably, I think, want to buy it. Like, because of the nostalgia thing, because I'd be thinking, like, I don't think I'd want to be telling people whether that game was good or not anymore. I didn't play any of the skate games.
But I'd argue that what you're describing is exactly why you are the person, you are the person who played those.
All right,
and
maybe
the whole point of this is to get that feeling again.
I'm
watching fucking videos, mate. I caught myself watching Tony Hawk doing videos with, like, you know, the young upcoming skaters. Like, this young girl looked about 10, and I watched a 9-minute video of her doing this skate thing and him talking it through. It's like, Christ, I'm a child again. I'm watching skateboarding videos. It's like,
I remember when I really
enjoyed it. You know?
When I could first watch YouTube. Well, yep. I don't know how long ago it was, wasn't it? I just used to watch Rodney Mullen. Do you remember Rodney Mullen? Yeah, this guy over and just the guy who did the kick flips and stuff. Yeah. And I'd just sit and watch him for hours and just be like, I'd love to do that. I can't do that.
Nah.
But now I think, imagine if my hat, we'll put my hat back in the ring then for the review, I'd give it a go. But what my point is that, like, I've, as a gamer, I guess, I've moved. I've not moved beyond or above, but I've moved away from that style of game. So I don't play sports games. I don't play races. I don't play anything like that. Like, I play little indie things like Olly Olly. I played that for a bit on the Vita and stuff. But like the most intense snowboarding game I've ever played is like Alto's Odyssey or whatever, that little side on 2D thing. So, and then I look at like a game like Tony Hawk's and I think, well, I want that. Because I remember how good it was then, but I wonder if now I would get into it as much. Do you know what I mean?
I think you would, because I am similar to you, but I am sat here like I was not joking. Like, I fucking can't stop thinking about that game. I'm so desperate to play that game.
Because I can remember the feeling of nailing those tricks, of getting those scores, you know what I mean? I remember what that was like. But these days, when I'm playing a game, I want something where I'm progressing. You know, like, I like stories, and I like, even if I'm playing a shooter and things, I usually like something with a story. I'm really into, like, characters.
See, man, I don't think this is true. I think you're doing yourself a disservice, because I feel like Risk of Rain 2 is not that dissimilar to Tony Hawk's in terms of what it does at the core. You know, Risk of Rain is a run-based thing where you are as good as the loot you got or the tricks you nailed, the combos you got. Tony Hawk, I mean, the demo's a two-minute demo of one level. It is literally a run-based game.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you're right. You might be right.
I think you're going to dig Tony Hawk's a lot.
I think, like, with this game coming out, for me, I'm just like, anyone that plays this Tony Hawk game, and if I turn around, if you played it, like, yeah, I'm going to be like, then we're definitely on the same page. You loved us. That's just it, isn't it? Like,
that's it.
There will be
one or two reviews, and they will be low scores, and they will be people who've never played the originals and don't get it at all, and it's not their thing. And that's fine. That's a valid opinion. But the people like us who played it and were there, this is what we're waiting for.
I remember going to my mate's house. I can clearly remember, and he was playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. I hadn't played the first one up to that point. I hadn't played 2, and he was playing 2. And I can't even remember what system it was on. Was that PS2?
PS1.
Okay. PS1. And he was playing that. And I went to his house, and we were sitting there shooting the shit. We were really young. And he was, and he said, "Do you want to go?" And I said, "I don't want to play fucking skate. I don't want to play skateboarding." I swear, probably, but I said, "I don't want to play skateboarding."
I'd imagine you did swear.
I'm not into that, but I was digging the soundtrack, right? Because the soundtrack for those games got me into a whole world of music. So I was sitting there digging the soundtrack, and he went, "Do you want to go?" And I went, "I can't do this. I don't play this. I play like RPGs and stuff." So I had a go, and within like 10 minutes, I was like, "No, we'll have it." And I think we were there for just hours, and I bought it. I begged my parents to buy it for my birthday, I think, the next time. And then that was it. I got the first one, and I got the third one when it came, and what was the one that came? What was the Tony Hawk's game that came out with that skateboard peripheral? What was that?
Ride.
Is that the one that I crashed?
Bombed.
Hard? Oh, it was a tragedy.
But it was like the
idea just did not. It was just like no wheels on the board.
Huh? The idea is amazing.
The idea is amazing, but it was just not. It didn't work.
Was it four where they added like story, or they added like there was too much stuff. Is that the one where people would sort of? Because I can clearly remember there was a point where Tony Hawk games were the
four
pinnacle,
was still received.
Four was good. Yeah,
three and four were good. Yeah.
And maybe it was just five that I'm thinking.
The Underground series was good.
Five.
No, I was going to try and five. No, it was. It was awful.
Do you know what though? Like, it's things like this. It's games like this that made me think as well, though. That like, I'm open for other games to come out like this. I know, like, we get remakes and remasters and all this shit, right? But in my head, I was kind of going like, will we get SSX Tricky? Just like,
no, we won't.
Visually,
that.
just polish it up, but leave it the same, pretty much.
I wish we would, but we ain't.
SSX. Or Twisted Metal World Tour.
Never getting Twisted Metal ever again. I forget if I was talking to you off podcast or not, but I was talking to you, saying someone I was talking about how I'm just gravitating towards games that are, we joked earlier about saying fun is overrated, but that's what I'm kind of going towards now. Like, I'm going towards the Rogue Legacies that I want, are desperate for Spelunky 2, Tony Hawk's, Crash, games that, they still look good, but they're, the core element of them is that almost dopamine hit of how each moment makes you feel, and it's an arcade game.
That's what Ali is doing for me right now.
That's exactly it.
Going back to
that's what I do with Dead Cells and things like that. I just go and blast for 15 minutes. Absolutely. And I'll go and play.
When you need that fix and you get it, it's just the best. Like, it just it's so good. So other than that though, just that's basically what I'm going to. Red Dead 2 is still fucking brilliant.
Still struggle to get into that, and I don't know why. I can't tell you what
you like fun too much or hate fun.
those characters and voice
played acting. It at the wrong time. What had I just come off? I'd just come off something huge, probably Assassin's Creed or something. I'd just come off of a big game, and Red Dead, I was hyped for it because the first game is still one of my favourite games ever. And I put it and I went into it, and I think it was so slow burn. And it was so big, and I think it was daunting. I think I was put off by it because I started it again when it came on Game Pass. I got it on PC, I got it on Xbox One with Game Pass, and I played it. I probably only played about 10 or 15 hours, but I was enjoying it a lot more then. I came off it because I was doing something else, reviewing something, or like, I'm always playing five games at a time. But just for some reason, I couldn't resonate.
Did you finish it at all, Mick?
I didn't finish it. No, I didn't finish it. I played the first time I played it. I tell you what, the first time I played it, I got to the part in it where you rescue Micah from that jail, and I'd done a bit of sidey stuff, and then I started sort of exploring, and I just tailed off, and ended up just not going back to it. And then I got about to there again this time, and this time I didn't get bored. I just ended up on other things, I've left it installed. Maybe I'll get back one day, but
it's like, I totally get what you're saying, right? Because I think a lot of people would be lying if they said it didn't feel that way, really, like in some way, not full extreme, but just in some way. Because when I played Red Dead 2, that's what I thought. I was like, fucking hell, the opening in the snow, it was all a bit like, this looks amazing, but my god, we're going at some pace here. Second time around now, doing it all over again, I, knowing what I was in for, appreciated it. Not that I didn't anyway, but just this time around was like that whole start, like opening within the snow up until you get to the camp. I was like, shit, we're at the camp already. Like, it just felt it was
second
just
time
there.
Was like that for me.
Because you've played it twice, like, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, mate. Well, I've technically started it the third time. Yeah, no, I've played it in three different formats now. But
I mean, it's not a game I would say was bad. There's nothing I could tell you is negative about. I couldn't sit here and say, well, I don't like that bit, I don't like that bit. I love the characters, the writing, the world is amazing. And it looks spectacular. And to play it, I mean, it's so fucking immersive. I mean, Rockstar know what they're doing. Do you know what I mean? They know exactly how to craft these worlds. I just,
like, everything with Arthur and Dutch, I think their whole thing, as it goes on, is one of my favourite, like, just story developments as the game goes on. Like, the third act of that game is just so, so good. But, like, I'm now just treating the game as, like, as if it's an online game. Do you know, I jump in, I go around, I swan around the world for a bit, I might just hunt something, or I might just do a side quest, and then that could take up to an hour, but I'm like, cool, that's it. That's the way I'm just treating it now. I'd love to hear you finish that game, Mick, because I think the story is your thing. Like,
it's a time thing. I'm waiting for that little period. I always get a little period. I know, but I usually get December. There's usually fuck all to do in December.
Won't be this year. We've got
next gen, haven't we? But
yeah,
usually it's a December game. I go in and finish something, but yeah, maybe
next
year. Well, it's time for some listener correspondence. McPoo on Discord wants to know, I'm going to ask the sort of second part of the question first, and we can just shout and answer quickly. Where is your favourite pizza place out of Domino's, Pizza Hut or Papa John's? I'm a Pizza Hut guy.
I'm a Domino's guy.
All of them.
Domino's.
Okay.
Oh, Domino's, yeah, but I would just eat pizza. Put pizza
I wouldn't turn any of them down. But
no.
Pizza Hut.
But I go Domino's usually.
Go in reverse order. Chris Hyde, what's your favourite pizza toppings?
Meat. All the meat. Meat. I always have the one that's got five different types of meat on it. That's the pizza I have. As many as I can. Yeah.
Okay.
Meatballs and bacon.
I got the same.
I know.
I'm with Chris. There's nothing. If you put pineapple or sweet corn on it, it can get in the bin. I just want meat, and I don't even have a barbecue base. I just have that thing where it's pepperoni and then just pile on the other meat.
Ad, what's your favorite?
Well, Mick, I won't invite you around to my house for pizza then, because
really like sweet corn,
I'd be sweet corn, pineapple, and jalapenos.
Are you serious? Or are you just trying to?
That is straight up my go-to every time.
Your goat.
Like every time.
He's vegan, don't forget, so he can't exactly have the same.
No, I know that, but he's chosen pineapple.
Oh, I love pineapple, man.
We don't have time on this podcast to discuss pineapple.
I'm starving to get a pineapple.
If it's got sweet corn on it, it's already binned, so you might as well put pineapple on it.
So
might as well put halibut on it.
Pepperoni, chorizo, chicken, maybe spicy chicken, maybe a bit of sweet corn, and just a drizzle of barbecue sauce on the top.
Do you ever change the sauce base to just all barbecue though?
Yeah, I've had a barbecue and ketchup mix, but no, not just barbecue. Deadbeat Punk says, no matter how dangerous the game tries to make them out to be, are there any enemies or bosses in games you can't take seriously?
Probably loads.
Yeah, as in, like,
anyone's going to be able to think
this
of
is
right
a joke.
Now,
I mean, pick something from any fucking turn-based JRPG game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you're up against something that looks like a sweet with a fucking
but they don't try and make them out to be scary or dangerous, do they?
No, but you can't take them seriously, can you?
There's one in Final Fantasy VII, the remake. It's like this small little thing, and he, like, one hit will just put your health down to like one. It's during the whole battle in the town with Aerith.
Oh, I know what you mean.
What about the Cactuar?
If you kill them quick, it doesn't do it. But if they
one
get
stabs you, I know. You mean the little thing that stabs you?
Yeah.
In the boss battle, yeah, I can't remember.
It's one of those you look at and you go, "What?" And then you just like demolish it.
If you kill it quick, because if you nail them fast, they can't do it.
But I don't think they try and make them out to be scary or dangerous. They just are dangerous.
I think the one that comes to mind for me is it Covetous Demon in Dark Souls 2, which is literally just a poo with a face.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one, Mick?
Yeah, fair.
Ceaseless Discharge. I can't take it seriously because of its name.
Yeah.
I just, every time I see it, and plus because you can do that little cheat with it where if you just run all the way to the end of the thing, it dies.
Yeah.
Like, it can't hit you and you just, you can kill it in like seconds as a little exploit. Yeah, I can't. So Ceaseless Discharge.
Yeah.
What a horrible name for anything.
Okay. Okay. Matt King wants to know, where are all the good horror games these days seem to pick up on the back of Amnesia and drop off very rapidly?
Oh, weird.
Play the Control DLC, AWE, the Ore.
Oh, I just started that.
That leans into the more Alan Wake stuff, the more scary stuff, and it's terrific.
Can you hear the rain through my microphone?
Yeah,
It's just been hammering it down for an hour.
It's fine. It's right. If the water stops, if the water comes up to your neck, mate, we'll stop. So horror games, I don't know that they've gone anywhere. I mean, yeah, Blair Witch.
Nah, that was crap.
No, but it is a horror game.
Yeah,
I think that.
Oh, he's asking where the good ones are gone.
Yeah, the good ones. I think that's the point, isn't it? I think because what was it? Bloober Team that did that.
Yeah, they do a lot of them.
Because they did Layers of Fear, which I reviewed, and I just remember thinking that was not that Layers of Fear 2 wasn't that great. I just thought it was just.
It's pretty good, but like in terms of a scare factor, not really there.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of a horror game,
I don't know. I think people just should give Evil Within another go. because they
what a game, Evil Within
those,
2 as
those,
well.
Those two games are really forgotten about, and they're excellent horror titles.
See, I like horrors where you can fight back, but you're still fucked. So, you know, like Evil, like Alien Isolation, you're just fucked all the time. Like, if you come up against that thing, even though I think she's an engineer and she's doing all this crazy shit, and I really think that if you had her know-how and that time, you could find something that would kill that thing, right? But in games like Evil Within and stuff, where there's just these, where you just fucked either way, you could be like the Fear games. You're like a fully trained squad of, and you're gonna die, guys. That's scary. Yeah. I don't like games where they just throw you into a situation and you can't do anything. You can walk around. You can't defend yourself. You can run and hide.
Yeah,
that's just so. Because in real life,
there's horror games out there. You just they're just. There's plenty of them. Like I say, play Control's Alan Wake thingy, the Or AW, whatever it is. They're out there. And that's basically a podcast this week. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you guys for being here. Mick, Adam and Chris, appreciate it, as always. Patreon.com/GodIsAGeek, just to remind you that you can get this podcast early. You can get Fork Off, which is a Patreon-exclusive podcast about food with Mr. Carroll, also on it. He's down there, on the piano. And you can even see some extra video stuff that we from before or after the pod. There's loads on there. Go and have a look. We drop codes on there, but we think it's worth a look. You know, even in these trying times, there's tears. Have a look at them. Hopefully, we do some merch soon. I'm actually only wearing this because my other one's wet from it, the rain. Mick mentioned.
You've got it now.
I've had it earlier. It absolutely hammered down. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for being here again, and we will see you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye bye for now.